Well, we just observed a large table. Again, as I said, we do that once a month. There are some churches that do it every week. There are some churches that do it once a quarter, and there are some churches that do it once a year. And I'm very partial to the once a month, because I think we need to always have in front of us what Jesus Christ has done for us, because when we realize what he has done for us and what this service, ordinance of communion, what that means to us, it gives us a lot of power in our life. And the Apostle Paul talks about what it means to be forgiven, what it means to have Jesus Christ, what it means to be one of his, to be part of his family. In the letter he writes to the Romans, in chapter 8, starting with verse 31, Paul asks a number of questions in here and his purpose is to draw us into a single conclusion about Jesus Christ and about our standing in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read this passage of Scripture for you, and we're going to look at five of these questions. And we're going to look at what Jesus Christ did for us. And we're going to look at what that means to us now, and what kind of standing we have in Jesus Christ right now. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to be reading verses 31 through 39. Verses 31 through 39. What then shall we say to those things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Or tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all things, all these things, we are overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Excuse me. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What a great passage of Scripture. What Paul is doing here, he is talking to, and he uses the word the elect. Now, this gets into the area of predestination and election and all that type of thing. We're not going to address that much, but know that what Paul is talking about, he's talking to believers. He's talking to people who know Jesus Christ. He's talking to people who have Jesus in their hearts. And he's asking these questions, and they're kind of rhetorical questions in a way. No, they're the questions that are supposed to get us to think. He knows that the believers know the answers to these. But he's asking these questions because it helps to think. And we're going to look at these questions that he asks, because I believe it's going to help us in the days to come. Now, I titled the sermon, No Fear. No fear. Now, I don't know about you, but boy, just watch the news for 5 minutes, and there's a lot of things out there to fear. You know, the other day I was watching, it wasn't at my house, but I was watching the news, and they were showing North Korea. And, you know, the little, he's just such a funny looking guy, it's hard to take him seriously. You know, with his strange haircut and that type of thing. But they showed the soldiers marching, and they showed the missiles on their carriers going through. And I don't know, it just seemed like to me, it reminded me of clips of Germany, back when Mr. Hitler was in charge. It seemed like that to me, and it's kind of like, wow, I know that they were showing those clips back then, and now we're seeing them again today. And if it isn't North Korea, then it's the Middle East. And if it isn't the Middle East, it's ISIS. If it isn't ISIS, it's some other radical group. It just seems like our future is unsure. And there's a lot of things to fear out there. Now, just as kind of a little, this is a serious thing, but a comical little note to this whole thing. I have a little red car. My little red car is about that long. And we call it Bob. Because Bob is red, and it's named after VeggieTales, Bob the Tomato. On the back of Bob, I did not put this there. It was there when I bought it. And on the back of Bob, etched into the glass, I tried to remove it. You cannot remove it. Is the words, fear this. And I hate that. Because people go, I know they're laughing. I know they're, especially when they pull up behind me and then they pass me and they look at this old guy with no hair sitting in the driver's seat, you know. That's just kind of like, fear what? You know? Fear he's going to die and I'm going to run into the back of him or what? You know, I don't understand. You know, but so that's kind of a joke and we laugh at that. But generally, people are afraid today. But as believers, we shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't have any fear of what is going to happen in the future. Now, concern, I'm not saying that we should just, you know, hold hands and laugh and go into the future and all that kind of stuff. No, our eyes need to be open. We need to see what's going on. We need to see what's happening in the world. But don't fear what's happening in the world, because look what Paul has to say in this passage of Scripture for those who are believers. Is we have some help. The first question that we want to look at is in verse 31. And it says, what then, well, actually he starts off with a question, but we're not going to look at that, because he starts a lot of things off with questions. He says, what then shall we say to these things? And again, he's talking about the elect. If you go back and read Romans 8, 28 and through 30, and I'm not going to do that, but you go back and do it. He's talking about believers again. And again, that's another sermon, and I'm going to let Pastor Dean do that one. He just loves to talk about elect and predestination and foreknowledge and all that kind of stuff. Those are words, you know, he grew up teething on those words and stuff. So we're going to let him deal with that, but we're going to look at, we're just going to say that he's talking about believers here, and that's us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We just partake of we just observe communion, and we're part, anyway, we did communion. And so we made the statement that, yes, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so if we make that statement, then here's some things that, here's some questions that Paul throws at us. The first question is, in verse 31, that's the second part of it, it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who is against us? If God is for us. Now, I want you to stop and think about that. Now, I'm teaching the class, the names of God. A lot of you have already gone through that, and so you know or are familiar with some of the names. The first name of God that we looked at was Elohim. Elohim is the strong one, the creator, the one who made everything that you see. The beautiful, you know, spring is so beautiful on the Palouse. The rolling hills. You have fields that are tall and green already, and you have some where just a little bit of green coming out of the brown, and it is so cool, and then you have the standing water in the fields yet. But, you know, you have all those things, but it's just, and the rolling hills, when it just looks so beautiful, and then you have the flowers that are blooming, and it's just, God created that. Our God is so great that He created all of this. Plus, I want to encourage you to wait till it gets dark and look at the stars. Look at the heavens. Look at the skies. What do you see? Providing there's no clouds. What do you see? You see the heavens. They're gorgeous. You see stars popping out all over. They get to the place where you cannot count them. And now scientists are telling that some of the things that we think are stars are distant galaxies. But they're so far away, they appear to us as just a little point of light. God created those by saying the words. He created that. That is our God. That is how powerful our God is. And so Paul is saying, if God is for us, who is against us? You know, maybe just to put it in terms, we are on the right side. We are on the right side. We have chosen a God who is all-powerful to be our God.
Amen.
And there is nothing that our God cannot do. And there is nothing that our God is going to let happen to us that He has not preordained. That He knows everything. He knows what's better for me than I know. He knows what's better for you than you know. Now, this is the God that we say we believe in. So Paul's asking this question, and I don't have time to go through all the references that are there. I'm going to trust that you do that. But these questions are really self-explanatory as we go through them. If God is for us, then who is it that we're going to be afraid of? Who is it that we're going to... I'm sorry, Derek. I'm throwing you a big loop here, okay? It's first time a thing, and I'm saying, okay, I'm cutting all this out. You're just going to have to listen to me. You know, Derek, if you want to push buttons, just to push buttons. Go ahead. That's fine. You know, give them something to do as I'm talking. But, you know, just, so look up these scriptures you go to. Just, I want you to think about it. We claim we believe in a God that is so powerful, and our God loves us. He wants to have a relationship with us. Why is it that we fear what man can do to us? Why is it that we fear what man can do to us? Matthew 10, I'm going to give you something to look up there, Derek. Matthew 10, 28 through 31. Let me read that for you. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. you are more valuable than many sparrows. Now, don't fear man. What can man do to you? Well, man can kill us. That is true. They can end our life on this earth. But that's all they can do. That's the most they can do for us. But if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we have accepted Him as our Savior, our future is in heaven. So they can take away our life here, but really they're just sending us into the glorious life that God has prepared for us. We don't need to worry about that. We don't need to worry about that. The second question that he asks is in verse 32 of our text. And it says, "He who did not spare his son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he also not also with him freely give us all things?" Now, Paul's answering this question in his question. Because what is he saying? He who did not spare his own son. You know, we're talking about a God who gave us his son. He gave us his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not spare him. He sent him to die. You look at those passages of scriptures that are there. It's all about Jesus Christ's death. That he gave his only son. Gave us, and I'm going back to John 3:16. But he gave his son. For us, his only son. If he was willing to do that, why would he then cut us off? Why would he give us the most precious thing that he had and then say, "That's it, no more. You're on your own. I gave you your lives, and so, hey, you just struggle along in it." No. He gave us his son. He's going to give us everything we need for our life. Now, I do not hold to the idea that he's going to give us everything we want in our life. But he's going to give us everything we need in our life. Everything that we need to cope in the days and the years to come. He's going to provide that for us. Is it going to be in the way that we think he's going to? No, because our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our plans are not his plans. Our will is not his will. So it may look very different to us, and it may be somewhat scary to us. But we don't need to fear the future because he's going to provide for us everything. And it says, "Will he not with him also freely give us all things?" Freely give us all things. The third question that we want to look at in verse 33 of our text, it says, "Who will bring a charge against God's elect?" That's us. That's all. Who will bring a charge against us? You've all seen Perry Mason or Matlock or, I guess those are the only two court shows I've ever watched. But anyway, between those two, and I know those of you who are 30 and under probably know, what's a Perry Mason and Matlock, you know? Sounds like a wrestling move or something. You know, but you've seen court trials on TV or on television or in movies or whatever. And you know that there is a person who is being tried. And there is the prosecuting attorney, and he is saying all these things about the person who's on trial, and they're all negative things, and they're all charges against him. And then there's a defense attorney who hopefully is better than the prosecuting attorney because he's trying to answer those charges and to spin a different story and trying to get the person off, you know. And that's what Perry Mason and Matlock always did, you know, but then they always were working for good people, too, that were falsely accused. But let's look at this case. The prosecuting attorney in our case, yes, it is Satan. Guess who our defense attorney is? It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. It's the one who died for us. And he died for us to cover all the charges that Satan was going to bring against us. When Jesus Christ died for us and we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, all those charges were dismissed. And so who is going to bring a charge against God's elect? The reason that we are God's elect is because of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us. So the answer is no one. No one can bring a charge against us. No one can. Because Paul goes on and he says in verse 33, God is the one who justifies. God is the judge, Jesus Christ is the defense attorney, and it's God who justifies. So we're standing in pretty good shape when we're in Jesus Christ. Because no one can bring a charge against us. No one can bring a charge against us. And then he goes on, and it's still kind of the courtroom thing. Who is the one who condemns us? Verse 34, it says, who is the one who condemns us? Then he goes on and he answers again. He says, Jesus Christ is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us. Now, I don't know, you know, in a courtroom, in our legal system, that's probably not a good thing to have the defense attorney sitting with the judge in his chambers defending the person who's on trial, but that's the way it works in God's kingdom. Jesus Christ is up there interceding for us. So there is no one who can condemn us. And in John 3:17, we read, for God's did not send his Son into the world to judge the world or to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. See, God's action was to condemn condemnation in those who believe in Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus Christ not to condemn us, but to save us. And now Jesus Christ is interceding at the right hand of God for us at all times. What do we have to worry about? What do we have to fear? Because Jesus Christ is up there. So who is it that can condemn us? The only one capable of condemning us is God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're on our side. So no one. Again, the answer again is no one can condemn us. And then the fifth question that we have to look at, and it's a great one. And again, Paul answers it in his letter here. Number five, found in verse 35 of our text. It's, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Can anyone separate us from the love of Christ? The answer is no. We cannot be separated. Once we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot be removed from the Lord Jesus Christ if we truly believe. I need to throw that in there. Because I think there are people who say the words but don't have it in their heart. And I think we get confused sometimes because they say the words and then later on they deny the words and they walk away and we go, well, now what about that person? How come if no one can be taken away from Jesus Christ, if we can't even remove ourselves from Jesus Christ, then how come that person? Well, I simply look at maybe, and if you want to debate me, you know, I'll be here Tuesday on this. But I believe that if they deny God, then they simply never knew God. They simply never. I really believe that people who truly know God never deny God. They never deny God. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? And then he goes on and he says, will tribulation, nor distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Will any of these things separate us from the love of Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. Jesus Christ's love triumphs over all of these things. And then in verse 37 he says, but in all these things we are overwhelmingly conquerors through Him who loved us. Overwhelmingly conquerors. Not we just squeak by. We just make it by a thread. Or by the skin of our teeth. You know, that's an old expression. Of course, there's no skin on our teeth. So, what we just, you know, by the slimness of things. No. Overwhelmingly. I mean, it's like, whew, way over. Just, we are conquerors. We are victors. Through Jesus Christ. Through Him who loved us. Then Paul goes on and he wants to really bring the thing home. He says, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And note that he puts in there any other created thing. Everything in this world that we know is created. There's only, well, how do I say this? There's only one thing, one person that is not created, and that's God Himself. And of course, God, the Trinity, God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. They are not created. They've always been, and they always will be. Everything else is created. And nothing that is created can separate us from the love of God. And the times may get hard in the future. Times might get really tough for Christians in the future. I'm hoping the Lord comes before it gets too bad. But one of the things that we have and that we need to remember, and as long as we partake in this meal, we need to remember what Paul challenges with these questions. We are victors. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 58, and I'm going to close with this. Paul says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? See, even death doesn't have a hold on us. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gave us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. We need to be steadfast and immovable as the days come. Because we are on the right side. The victory is ours. Our future is bright. It's the glory of God. And because of what He did for us and what we partake in each month and what we claim and what we believe, we have that victory in our life. And we do not need to fear what comes in the future. Because we have the Almighty God on our side. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ and for the work that He did, and that through His work, we are part of you. And Lord, there is no one that can hurt us. There is no one that can hinder us. There is no one that can trip us up. Lord, if our faith is fully on you and our eyes are on you, regardless of what happens in this world, Lord, we can be strong. We can be immovable because of you, because of what you have done for us. for this great promise. And help us, Lord, to face the future without fear. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.